Let's take a moment and bow before the Lord together. Our Father, we come today. We come to your word. And we desire that you would teach us from your truth. Lord, we need your wisdom. And we need your strength. We need your grace to put into practice the things that we learn. Lord, many of us in this room know the scriptures. We know what your word teaches. We know what your word has said about how we should live after the example that you have given to us in your word and in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, Lord, many of us, every one of us, we struggle day to day with the ability to put it into practice. So, Lord, give us your grace and help us, Lord, to bring honor to you as we seek to let our good works shine before others, that they may glorify you. Lord, bless us today as we seek your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to share just one verse of scripture with you. And it comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6, and verse number 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." I want to read that same verse from a different translation. This is from the New Living Translation. I think it brings out very well what this verse is saying. It says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." And this verse, just a short verse, but it is incredibly powerful. And it's a verse that every single one of us as fathers need to heed. Now, you might be sitting here and thinking, "I'm not a father." Well, maybe you're a son. Maybe you're a daughter. Well, all you have to do is listen to this verse and listen to what the Lord is saying to your fathers and learn how to maybe one day be a father or a mother yourself one day. Learn how the Lord desires for your father to relate to you. And if you want an even more direct application of the scripture, then just back up the verse before this. And the three verses before this in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 are directly addressed to children, to sons and to daughters. And your responsibility is to obey your fathers and your mothers. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're not a father, maybe you're a mother. Even though this is addressed specifically directly to the fathers of the home, I definitely think that there are principles here that apply to mothers as well, that mothers can apply in their role as a trainer, as instructor, as nourisher of their children. Maybe you're a grandfather, a grandmother. Maybe your children are already out of the home. Well, this verse can still apply to you. Even though they're out of the home and they're not in your daily sphere of influence, you still have influence over them. It might be more indirect. It might be occasional, but you still have some influence in their lives. Men in our church, women in our church, we have opportunity to be spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to those who are under us, maybe in age or maybe in spiritual maturity. And so there are broad applications for every Christian in this verse, even though I'm specifically addressing the fathers today. And so I just wanted to say that. And another thing that I would like to say before we look at exactly what this verse is saying is I want to say as a father that I've not mastered this verse. And there's not a father in this room that has mastered this verse. And so in the things that I say, I have no doubt that in some of the things that I say, I will be a hypocritical in some of these things that I say, because I'm not perfect in any of these things. No father is. We have one father who is perfect, and he is in heaven. And he has sent his one and only perfect son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in this world. He is the perfect example for us in this world. So there's not a father in here, myself included, that can live up perfectly to these expectations. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't desire to grow, and desire to improve, and desire to advance in our ability to live as godly people in our homes and in our churches and in our society. And so I hope that this will be encouraging, helpful to you, not just to our fathers, but to everyone who's here today. And so what is this verse teaching us? Well, it starts off with a negative command. Do not do something. Don't do this. And then the rest of the verse is instead do this. So it starts with the negative. Refrain from doing this. It says, do not exasperate your children. Or another way of saying that is, do not stir up your children to anger. The word that is used there literally means to make someone else angry. Do not make someone else angry. Don't make your children angry. How do we do that? That's a good question, isn't it? Let's try to get practical. How is it that as fathers, we might make our children angry with us or angry in general? Have a spirit of anger? What are some things that we might do or fail to do that might lead our children toward anger? Well, these are just a few examples, few suggestions, and you can probably think of others as well, but this will maybe get our thoughts moving. Here are some things that as fathers that we might do that would exasperate our children. One is if we treat them harshly. If we treat them harshly. So an abusive father, verbally abusive, physically abusive, can stir up anger in their children. Not only anger against you, anger against your family, but anger in general that will manifest itself even later in life in their workplace, in society, in their response to law enforcement. We can stir up anger in our children if we treat them harshly, physically or verbally, emotionally abuse them. The Bible gives fathers the role and the responsibility to lead their families, but the Bible never gives fathers the privilege or the license to use that position as a way to dominate or to abuse other people underneath them. It is always to be a loving leadership, a loving instruction. Another way that we might exasperate our children is by putting other things ahead of our family. Putting other priorities ahead of our family. And that can be any number of things. One obvious one might be our work or our career. We could put our work or our career obviously above our family, and our families never see us. And our children never see us. They're never able to spend time with us. That can exasperate your children. That can cause them to develop anger in them against you, and anger that will lead to other things as well. Now, I'm not saying that we can't work. We have to work, right? We have callings from the Lord to use our gifts and our abilities for the good of others in society, whether that be as a doctor, as a repairman, as a banker, as a teacher, a pastor, whatever it is. God has given us different traits, different talents, different abilities that we can use to benefit those around us in our world, in our society. And we need to do that. We need to bless others through our gifts, through our talents, through our work, and we also need to provide for our families. But we can take that to an extreme, can't we? We can take our work to an extreme. We can take our career to an extreme, to the point where we're putting it in obvious priority over our families, and we're not spending time with them. And we might do that for several different reasons. One, we might love our work, and we might want to work that much. There are people who are legitimately workaholics. They might want to work that much because they want to advance in their career and get maybe the notoriety or the praise or the money that comes along with advancing in career. They might want to work that much because of a love of money or materialism, and they want the things that the money from work provides. There's lots of different reasons why we might work too much. But if we do, our children, our wives will see that. And they could develop a bitter spirit if we put other things obviously in front of our families. It could may not be work. It could be hobbies. It could be just being selfish and spending time for ourselves and going out doing this or going fishing or going golfing or engaging in our hobbies and still neglecting our families. That's one way that we might exasperate our children, is by not giving them the time and the attention that they deserve. Just one other example, and then we'll move on to the next point. Here's another way that we might exasperate our children, and that is by not keeping our word to them. By being inconsistent, unfaithful. By saying things and then not following through. By making promises and not keeping them. And that's hard, isn't it? I mean, every single one of us acknowledges that these things are hard. One of the hardest things I think as a parent in my own life that I've experienced, the hardest thing for me is to be consistent. And to be consistent in my instruction, to be consistent in my discipline, to be consistent in what I say one day and the next, it's hard. We often fail. And I'm not saying that we have to be perfect parents so as not to exasperate our children, because the Lord is gracious, isn't he? But we should strive to give them the attention they deserve. We should strive to be faithful, consistent in what we say, consistent in the way that we discipline them and instruct them. And we need the Lord's grace to help us to do that. But the Lord is teaching us through Paul here that we are not to drive our children to anger in the way that we treat them. So what do we do then? How do we act? How do we respond? How do we live as fathers in our home? And then, so here's the positive. Don't exasperate them. Don't stir them up to anger. Instead, here's what you are to do. You are to bring them up. That's the main verb. So the negative verb is don't make them angry. The positive verb is bring them up, rear them, nourish them, raise them. And so the idea here is to provide nourishment for them. So they need provision. Fathers need to provide for their families. But the other idea in this word is also to bring them up from childhood to adulthood. To train them to be responsible adults. To bring them from one level of development to the next. And then to the next. And to help them in that process of development. And so we need to nurture them, to raise them. And then it gives us two specific ways that we are to do that. Two specific ways that we are to rear or to nurture our children. The first way is through the training of the Lord. It says, instead, bring them up in the training of the Lord. So we need to nurture them or raise them with training. This word is defined this way: the act of providing guidance for responsible living, training, or instruction. Oftentimes, it is used in the sense of discipline or correction. In other words, guiding our children in the right path. Guiding our children in the right path, both positively. Here is the path that you should go. And then also in this idea of training is the idea of discipline. So that when they start to veer from the right path, we are to act as a guide, sometimes with strong discipline, to bring them back to the right path. This is the idea of training or discipline here. To help them be on the right path, to be a guide to responsible living, training them and at times correcting them. Now, how do we correct them? Well, in our culture today, it is very, very unpopular to correct your children using physical discipline. And you read the literature, any secular literature out there about disciplining or teaching your children. Any secular literature out there will say no physical discipline. And I think that's a mistake. I think it's a mistake because the scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, says that physical discipline is important, is useful for the training of children, for the correcting of children. Now, going back a little bit to the first point, can that be abused? Absolutely. Absolutely. That physical discipline can be abused. It can be used the wrong way. It can be done in anger. It can be done in quick reaction. It can be done because I'm upset and you've done something that ticks me off. And so I'm going to react and respond, and you're going to get that physical discipline and get it quick and maybe get it too harshly. It can be abused. But I think that our culture maybe has reacted to that and said, okay, let's just throw the whole thing out. So we don't need any physical discipline at all. And I think you can look around in our culture and you can see the result of that. And so the answer is not, okay, you can abuse this, so let's just get rid of it all completely. That's not the answer. The answer is not abuse or no discipline. The answer is right discipline. The answer is to use physical discipline, the rod of correction, as Proverbs calls it, in the right way. Well, how can you do it in the right way? Well, first of all, you need to be under control. You as the parent need to be under control. If you're out of control and your own emotions are out of control, then you're not yet ready at that moment to apply physical discipline. You need to, along with the physical discipline, also give verbal instruction. What is it? Why am I disciplining you right now? What is it that you specifically have done wrong? What is it that you have disobeyed? And always bring into the physical discipline specific truths from the Word of God, Scripture, so that they know exactly what they have done wrong in terms of God's Word and why they're receiving this discipline. And always, always bring love with it. Always love. You don't have to use the phrase, this hurts me more than it hurts you, because your kids don't believe that anyway. But you can bring love into the equation. And you need to bring love into the equation. And teach them this is necessary for you, and because you need to know how to live in obedience to your parents, because living in obedience to your parents is also obeying God. And I love you and I want you to go down the right path in life. I don't want you to go down the wrong path. And you can do it calmly. You can do it in love. You can do it with the instruction of the Word of God. And you can still use physical discipline with profit for the training and instruction of your young people. Now, is physical discipline the only kind of discipline? No, there are other kinds too. I'm not saying that's the only way you can do it, but I think it's needful at the right time, in the right way. It needs to be applied with love and with consistency. But there are other kinds of discipline too. Sometimes discipline might just be giving them a word of correction. And that might be enough in that moment. Sometimes it might be giving them work or job to train them to do something, to help them learn a lesson. Sometimes it might be withholding something from them that they love or enjoy as a punishment. There are lots of different ways to punish or to provide correction, but it always needs to be accompanied with specific verbal instruction from the Word of God, and always needs to be accompanied by love. But they need to be brought back to the right path. As Proverbs 22:6 says, bring your children up in the way that they should go, on the right path, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, that's not a guaranteed promise in every circumstance, but it is a general principle of life, that if you bring your children down the right path, they will end up at the right destination. So with training, with correction, with discipline, And then finally, the last thing that this verse says is not only bring them up in the training, but also in the instruction of the Lord, with godly instruction. And this word that is used in verse 4 is defined this way. This instruction, the word means counsel about avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. Counsel about avoidance or cessation of an improper course of conduct. Sometimes it's translated admonition, sometimes instruction. And it too brings in the idea of seeing them go down the wrong path and bringing them back to the right path. Now, under discipline or training, I focused on discipline. In this one, I want to focus on positive instruction, positive counsel. And here, I want to bring in the truth of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 lays upon parents the responsibility to teach their children the word of God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." And then it says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, "Teach these things that I've commanded you to your children." Talk about them when you're sitting down, as you're lying down, as you're walking along the way. Hang them on the doorposts of your house. In other words, anywhere and everywhere, you need to be a conduit of biblical instruction to your families, to your children. And it doesn't just need to be like a formal sit-down time of, okay, here we are, it's 6 p.m., and you're going to sit down, and I'm going to teach you the Word of God for the next 15 minutes. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. There should be times like that. But Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 are about more than that. They're about teaching the Word of God at all times, as you're driving down the road, in the car, as you're watching the news, and something comes up on the news that you think is a teachable moment to your children. Maybe you're watching a television program, and something comes up on the television program that you know is contradictory to the Word of God. That's a teaching moment. Watching a movie, something comes up that is contradictory to the Word of God. That is a teaching moment. Reading books together, not only Christian books, but also other books in literature that maybe not even be written by Christians, maybe classic works of literature. You can read and you can gain truths from them and also show contrast between its worldview and the biblical worldview. All kinds of ways that we can be teaching our children at all times throughout their lives. And that requires us to be there. It requires us to be there. Eat meals together. Spend time together. Do as much as you can together. I know we have responsibilities. I know we have jobs. But put a priority on your family. And teach them the Word of God with godly instruction. And so here's the instruction to us. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's our calling. We need God's help with that. Amen. We need God's help with that. Because we're all going to fail. Not one of us is perfect in that. We need God's help. We need His grace. We need His strength. And my prayer is that we would have a church of fathers that desire to live out this verse in their homes. My prayer is that we would have a community in Winfield that would seek to live out the principles of this word. My prayer is that this principle would spread across our nation, and that through godly fatherhood, through godly homes, we might begin to see a revival of the gospel in our nation. And let me tell you, you don't need me to tell you this, you know this, but just as a reminder, the family is under an onslaught right now of attack. Everywhere, from every direction, in our society. The family is under attack. And the enemies are everywhere. The enemies are on television in the way that it portrays fatherhood, in the way that it portrays marriage, in the way that it portrays women, in the way that it portrays gender at all. In movies and television and media, it's under attack on the internet with pornography. Pornography is destroying homes. Every single day, homes are being destroyed by pornography. If you have a computer, if you have a tablet, if you have a smartphone, and you don't have a way of keeping yourself out of that, whether through a filtering app or filtering software or an accountability software like Covenant Eyes, you need to get one. Don't put your trust in yourself to be able to say no in a time of temptation. Because the threat is real and it is everywhere. And they're not being passive about it. They're being active about it. They're coming after you. You need defenses. And if need be, if it is a problem for you, then apply the principle of Jesus. It's better to gouge out your eye and go to the kingdom of heaven than it is to keep both eyes and go to hell. Throw your computer out in the dumpster if you have to. And you say that's radical. Isn't what Jesus said pretty radical? What's better, to be connected on the internet and have Facebook, or to be holy and to live for God and to protect your family? Which one's better? Either take necessary means to guard your family if you have devices in your home, and if you can't protect them, then get rid of them. The enemies are everywhere. We need to be guarding our homes because that is where the greatest threat of attack is coming from right now. And if the home is destroyed, our cities are destroyed, our country is destroyed, and we're seeing it happening before our eyes. And if there's going to be a place of defense, a place where we can stop the flow of this culture, it has to start in Christian homes. It has to start in churches like ours. It has to start in homes like ours. And if we, as a Bible-believing church of Christian families, if we are not going to defend our families, then who will? It has to start with us. And so may God help us to do this. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us, Lord, help us as fathers to not cause our children to become angry, but Lord, in love, in consistency, in faithfulness, Lord, may we rear them, may we bring them up with nurture, with care, with instruction, with discipline, that we might, Lord, with your help and with your grace, lead our children to you. Father, bless our mothers, husbands and wives. Lord, bless our children. Protect our children. Keep them safe from the evil one. Lord, bless our church. May we be a father to the fatherless. May we reach out and care for those around us that may not have fathers, that may not have mothers, that may need someone in their life to help them, to teach them, to bring them up. Lord, guard our church, guard our homes. Give us your grace, Lord, because we need it every single day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.